Nearly 200 years ago, Alexis de Tocqueville toured the United States. He found a young democracy full of religious fervor, and his travelogue became a textbook for how outsiders view America. Now, a fellow Frenchman has spent 6 months following in Tocqueville's footsteps, and he's writing about it for The Atlantic magazine. Bernard-Henri Lévy is a superstar intellectual in France, a leading philosopher with a string of best-selling books. And he joins me now from our New York bureau. Welcome.
Thank you.
So why do this project now?
It is such a special time in the history of this country and in the history of the relationship of this country with the rest of the world that it seemed to me that it was the right moment to come and to try to see what exactly is happening in the depth of this country.
I presume you picked up Democracy in America and perhaps read or reread it?
I had it in my pocket all time during I crossed 25,000 miles in the country, and all this time I had a pen in my right hand and Tocqueville in the left hand, and one of the game was to see how far Alexis de Tocqueville did foresee what is happening today in America and how far he did not.
And what did you find?
He did a lot. He did a lot. There are a lot of things which are really well seen and well done in the Tocqueville book. You just spoke about the religious fervor, the very important religious dimension of the democracy in America at his time, true at the time of today. He spoke about the tyranny of majority, who was, on his opinion, a permanent risk for any democracy, and for this one in particular, and so on.
In what sense do you see that, the tyranny of the majority?
When you go, for instance, in the Mall of America in Minneapolis, this huge building with a sort of fake life inside, with a sort of uniformized taste, conformity, herd mentality, all this sounds like a modern tyranny of majority.
Although these are the aspects of American life which are getting exported everywhere. I mean, there's McDonald's in France, n'est-ce pas?
Of course, yes. Of course, yes. This is not the best of America. I tried in this experience, I tried to get rid of all the clichés, the commonplaces, and I tried to see this country as it is. As it is, it's a great country. And I love it. I loved it before, and I would say that I love it even more after than before. But you have also some dark sides. And I try in this long, long story not to hide these and not to hide those.
Tell me what stands out for you when you speak of the dark sides.
This uniformization and tyranny and modern tyranny of majority, some excesses in the growth of Puritanism. I have nothing against religion, you know, but when you see those real mega church where you have 10,000 people gathering like for a concert of rock and roll, when you see them considering God as a sort of good buddy, your best buddy, who helps you to get fit and who helps you to lose weight and so on and so on, there is something which is going wrong.
One of the more positive experiences you had was when you went to Dearborn, Michigan, which has a large Arab-American community. And you write that you were surprised by the extent to which the Arab-Americans there identified as Americans.
I saw that all over the country, and this for us, for Europeans and for French, who have such a problem of integration, such a problem with many of our migrants, this is a great example. When I was in Dearborn, I met some people. They felt deeply Arabs, deeply Muslims. But when they said, we believe that, we think that, and so on, I very quickly discovered that we meant not we Arabs, but we American.
And why do you think that is?
I think that is because you have great institutions, because you had great father founders, and because you had some people who made live the message of the founding fathers. I give you another example. I spent a lot of my time in the South. I came there with the cliché of the stupid redneck, white man, racist, drunk, and racist. I had this idea of the South, idea coming from the cliché, and also idea coming from the literature. Flannery O'Connor, William Faulkner, to quote the best and the highest. My surprise was to what extent the fight for the civil rights has succeeded. The message of Martin Luther King has succeeded today. I don't say that there is no longer one racist in the South. Of course not. But it is another South. 40 years ago, they were bragging. Now they are on the defense. You might have no more racist in Alabama and in Tennessee than in France or in Germany.
It strikes me that today, as compared with 1831, when Alexis de Tocqueville was making his voyage, more Americans travel more widely. Many go abroad. They go to France. They go to other places. And they can see the United States from a different perspective, an outsider's perspective. Is there, not to knock your observations here, but is there perhaps less need for this outsider's observations on America today?
Maybe. I don't know. I hope so. The thing which is true is that America, you said they travel abroad, of course, but they travel inside. And that is the thing which struck me.
Inside America.
Inside America. One of the sentences I heard more often during this year is the sentence, keep moving. Everywhere you are told, keep moving. But in France, we have houses deeply rooted on the soil, as if they were built for eternity. In America, they seem so often already on the process of moving, already on the process of being not uprooted, but put a little further. You feel so often in American houses the possibility of the future ghost town. Nevertheless, in the life of everyone, an attachment to the place of birth. And this dialectic movement, this bipolarity between the move and the attachment of the little fatherland, this is so American also. And I like it.
Bernard-Henri Lévy is the author of In the Footsteps of Tocqueville in the current Atlantic magazine. It's the first of a series of articles and a forthcoming book for which you're still traveling. So thank you and bon voyage.
Merci.